desire to deprive others of theirs. An insatiable desire for what someone else has and resenting them for having it. Defined as sad or resentful covetousness towards the traits or possessions of someone else, it severs one from their neighbor. Comparison will kill you.
Come on, y'all, give it up for that band. Welcome to the Seven Deadly Sins. Today we are talking about envy, and I just want you to know that I am so thankful that you're here watching online. Good morning to all of our Dallas friends as well. We got Kansas City. There's people watching all over Hawaii. Come on, give Hawaii some love out there, y'all. What's up, Hawaii? So here's what's really cool about today, man, is that this message once again will apply to everyone. And as I've said in the first 2 weeks of Seven Deadly Sins, pride, I struggle with it. Anger, I struggle with it. This one, I struggle with it as well, but not as much as the first two until something happened this week, and I will reveal that in the message very shortly. But let's start with James 3:16, give you a little basis to know where we're going. Wherever there is envy, you will find every kind of evil. It is a lot like pride in this way, that many other sins are connected to envy. There's all of these things that are connected when you begin to envy something or someone else. For example, envy can, and here's the little list, can make you power hungry, rude, sarcastic, spiteful, stingy, stubborn, unforgiving, ungrateful, unkind, and yes, even vain. Because there is this thing going on in envy, especially in this generation, that I think all of us can relate to. It is something going on deep inside of us. Proverbs 14:30 says it like this: a heart at peace gives life to the body. So if you can get in a place of peace, that's how we always end every service, man, that's a good thing. But if you allow envy to get inside of you, it will rot you to the core. It rots the bones. It is literally everywhere in our culture and our society. For example, you go, Justin, well, what do you envy? Well, here's one picture, just an example. I envy these guys right here. Anybody know who they are? Patriots, that's right, man. That's it. They're the ones that have won 6 Super Bowls. So even though the Cowboys have 5, somebody's got 6. And it's not just the Patriots, because this is for Keith Sally. It's also the Steelers and for Daniel Nelson. There's always somebody who has a little more than you. There's always someone that has something you don't have. There's always a business, a company, an individual that you're kind of looking at and going, man, if I had this or if I had that, oh, if I could have just experience that. Well, as I started with the beginning of the message, we had a great time. We got to get away and go to the beach thanks to a family who donated some time at their condo for the entire staff. So thank y'all so much, Jody and Sheriff, for letting us go down there and enjoy a time to get away. Many of you envy us already. You're like, I wish I could do that. I don't blame you. Anytime I see someone doing that, I'm like, oh, golly, I'd love to be able to get away. So it was awesome. But while I'm down there, the unthinkable happens. Many of you already know because you have been blowing my phone up. I didn't keep my phone with me. When I go on vacation, I put it away. I try to just stash it. Don't want to look at it or don't want to think about it because I'm just relaxing. I'm trying to chill. I'm growing the beard out, a little sloth. You know what I'm saying? Relax. And then in the midst of all that, my dream comes true and I'm not here and I envy my boy, Doug Warner. What are you talking about? Watch.
All right, hey, Justin, I called you once, twice. I think I called you 3 times. I made every effort to let you talk to somebody because I knew this would make your day. You haven't sent him a paycheck, but your associate pastor would really like to get paid for all the work he's been doing.
Actually not.
Have you calculated it up yet?
No, but you say every other week, you know, what, $100 a sermon? You know, it's going to at least pay for my next vacation, I think.
I would agree.
I'll reach out to the CBS lawyers and see what they... because I don't think they've gotten their residual check from Justin. But
sorry, Justin.
Joking aside, I'm actually super flattered that you use the stories every week. I mean, it's one of the greatest honors. You know, sometimes there's teachers that show them in schools and pastors that show them. I mean, that to me is a bigger deal than, you know, the millions of people that watch every week because you're allowing me into a sacred space. You know, the school, mm-hmm. the schoolroom, the church, it's a sacred space. And to be trusted to that level means the world to me. So thanks so much for doing it. And I still don't officially give you my blessing for using the stories, but we're not going to come after you.
Well, that's good to know. And there's something about just being in this guy's presence that you just know everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, because Steve wouldn't be here if it was bad news.
That's true.
He's not bad news, Steve. He's good news, Steve. Yeah. So, all right, Justin, we hope you appreciate this. I hope you guys have a great rest of your few days there on your retreat. Any parting words?
No, just thanks again.
All right.
Come on, y'all, give it up for old Steve Harmon. Everybody was asking, was like, man, did you get to meet him? Did you get to meet him? No, man, we were at the beach. And so I was very envious of Doug Warner, our dear friend, that Steve was in town. And he was not only in town, but doing my alma mater, Southwood Cowboy story. If you act right, I might show it at the end. We'll see how much time we have. But I was envious. I was like, man, how cool is it? Because I really do admire Steve. I'm so thankful. And although legally, right, he's saying, hey, we can't do it, I'm also honored when he says, man, what a privilege that we show it in church, because it makes a difference. And I wanted him to know, and Doug was quick to tell him to represent us, and just how thankful we are for what he does, because it is always about pointing to the good and showing you that there's hope out there in the real world. So very, very grateful, Steve. Thank you. And, of course, to my friend Doug. So give Doug a little love for making sure that happened. Doug, thank you. All right, so when you talk about envy being everywhere, I'm down in Florida, and this I'm envying, you know, Doug being up here. But I thought about in homes, there's siblings that have envy with the other sibling. They always get to do this, or they go to this, and I didn't get to. Moms and dads envy each other and envy other moms and dads. Co-workers, you can go into a work environment, and you can be going, man, I wish I had what they had, or I wish that they were, you know, in my workplace. I wish I could work at this place. There's so many different things. Social media is pounded with it. I mean, everybody is scrolling and comparing and looking at all these different things going on. And it hit me while I was thinking through all of these places that we see envy. It is also in kids' movies. And this is probably one of the scenes that is most famous for envy, because the character that is now introduced to the new character, you will see very quickly there is some envy building up. Watch.
I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not a dinosaur.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, thank you all for your kind welcome.
Say, what's that button do?
I'll show you.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Oh. Hey, Woody's got something like that. His is a pull strength. Only
it sounds like a car ran over it.
Oh, yeah, but not like this one. This is a quality sound system. Probably all...
You think they've never seen a new toy before?
Well, sure. Look at him. He's got more gadgets on him than a Swiss Army knife.
Please be careful. You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
What's with him?
Laser envy.
All right, that's enough. Look, we're all very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me, I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys present.
Getting kind of tense, aren't you?
You see the tension that happens when laser envy is there. It doesn't bring out the best in us. So as we go from Toy Story to Steve Hartman and all the other things in between, now let's take it to a story that Jesus tells. And this story is relatable to all of us, because as you start listening to it, you will find out very quickly it would probably make you mad too. You would be envious as well. The story that Jesus tells is about a guy who owns a field. He needs some laborers. He needs some workers. So what he does is he goes to town every day to find these workers. And as he goes to town, he starts and tells them right from the beginning, hey, if you come and work for me, I'm going to pay you one silver coin for a day's work, which was not a bad deal. Pretty good job. Some of these people would say, okay, absolutely, I'm in. So they would come and they'd begin to work. And that happened early in the morning. Then he realized he didn't have enough workers, so he went back at 9 a.m., found some more workers, and he told them the same thing. Hey, if you come and work for me, I'm going to pay you one silver coin for a full day's work. And they're like, oh, absolutely. So they come. Still doesn't have enough workers. Goes back at noon, goes back at 3, goes back at 5. So all through the day, he keeps going back and forth, back and forth. And every time he goes back, he tells the workers the same thing. I'm going to pay you one silver coin if you come and work for me. So they're like, absolutely, I agree. But then in Matthew 20, you see exactly what happens when envy gets involved. And Jesus is trying to tell the story to all of us. So listen closely. Matthew 20. It says, when they got their silver coin, they complained to the man who owned the land. They said, so it's payday. It's at the end of the day. All of them gather up. The one that got there at 6 a.m. or the one that got there at 5 p.m. And this is what they say. Those people were hired last and worked for only 1 hour. So the people that were hired at 5, they're getting off at 6, and they got paid the same thing that you paid us that got here at 6 a.m.? So they're beginning to go, what's going on? But you paid them the same as us. So as it went on, it says, and we worked in the hot sun a long time. So he was going, time out a second. We've been in the sun from sunrise until 6 p.m. and got paid one silver coin. And Jesus is telling the story that the guy that got there at 5 p.m. got paid the same thing. And guess what? They begin to envy the guy who got there late. And the one that got there early now had anger and pride. There's all of these things going on. We've all been there before. You've probably been there. Somebody at work gets a bonus that you feel like, wait a second, I'm not sure that's fair. You see something going on. I'm not sure that this is really working out right. How come they got to leave earlier? How come they got that experience and I didn't? We've all been there. And this is why envy is so challenging, because we all think in our minds, this is not fair. Because we compare. We compare ourselves. We compare the amount of money. We compare how hard we're working. We begin to get into this comparison thing, and Jesus knew it. So in Matthew 20, he's telling the story. He goes, hey, y'all gather around and listen. Let me tell you a story about this. So the story continues when he says this, friend, I am being fair with you. This is the owner now talking to all of them. Hey, I'm being fair with you. You agreed to work for one silver coin, didn't you? And they're like, yeah. So take your pay and go. Why are you being mad, right? Why are you getting upset? Because I want to give the man who was hired last the same pay that I gave you. That's what I want to do as the boss. And this is what he says. I can do what I want with my own money. This is Jesus telling the story. And he said, one very key component of the story. He goes, what's the kingdom of God like? He's telling you a story. And in our world, on the earthly side of things, on the sinful side of things, we're going, no, 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 no. Let's compare how these things work out. And that's not fair at all. And Jesus come back saying, no, I can do what I want because I am in control. I am God. And I am telling you that when you get envious of other people and you begin to point the finger and you begin to compare, something happens. Because he says this phrase, why would you be jealous because I'm generous? So, wow, wait a second, Joshua. What are you really trying to say? Well, it's not really what I'm trying to say. I'm working through it like you are. And as I look at this story, this is one thing that I can wrap my head around, Jesus trying to teach us. If you were to define envy, it would be this: resenting God's goodness to other people and ignoring God's goodness to yourself. See, this is really what the problem is. It's very easy, because again, they all agree to the same pay regardless of what time someone else came on. And God's going, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You're getting your pay. That's what you wanted. This is, and you're like, man, thank God I got hired. Thank God I got the job. Thank God I've got my silver coin. But wait a second. Why did they get more? But wait a second. Why is that happening? Why did they do this? And why is this going on? So what I've done as I work through this myself is look at Matthew 20 and kind of look for solutions that Jesus was trying to reveal. And the first one's obvious, I've already stated, but write it down again. Remember, the notes are downloadable. You can go to the app, you can go to our website, you can download these notes. But here's the first thing I think Jesus is making sure that we get. Don't you dare compare yourself to anyone else. Because the root of envy is comparison. Matthew 20 goes on, right? They assumed they would get far more. See, assumption, y'all already know what that is. There was one in the pre-show, all right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed it. But they assumed they would get far more. These last workers put in only one easy hour. See how it's written out? See what he's talking about? And you just made them equal to us. That's not fair. And what Jesus, I think, was trying to say was like, no, the reason that you're struggling is you forgot how good I've been to you. You have forgotten what I promised, and I gave you what I promised, but the only reason you're disappointed, the reason you're struggling is because you assumed, based on what's going on, that you would get more, and you start saying this, we deserve more than this. We're better than them. We're better than them because we've worked harder. We've been here all day. They're not as good as us. We can do this in so many areas with so many different groups of people. So Galatians comes along. You can look at a whole other chapter of the Bible. You can look at a whole other book of the Bible, and you will see this. This is throughout all Scripture. Don't compare yourself with other people. But aren't we guilty of it? You start looking at it and go, man, I wish I had that, or I wish I looked like that, or I wish this was going on. And next thing you know, that envy begins to build up, and it begins to destroy you. Instead, it says, just look at your own work to see if you have done anything to be proud of. Man, is there anything you go, man, God, I'm thankful for what I got, and man, I'm thankful I got to do this. You must each accept the responsibilities that are yours. So what we do is we start going, well, they should have done this better, and that should have been done better, and if they had done this, and if they had done, and we begin to sometimes envy that, and sometimes be prideful, and sometimes get angry, and that's why I told you at the beginning of the series, they kind of all begin to work together. And the whole purpose is, as we said at the beginning of this series, it's deadly. It is to destroy you. It is to make you miserable. And once again, when you begin to compare yourself, or I begin to compare myself to anybody else, another preacher, anybody else in the world, another company, another church, it leads to one of two things, either pride or envy. We begin to say, man, aren't we something? Man, aren't we? We went through it. We made it through. We're better than them. Or, oh my gosh, I wish we could be like them. Oh, I don't know why we can't do that. I don't know why we can't have that. And neither one of those things bring honor to God. Because we forget that God has uniquely made each and every one of us. He's given you certain gifts and talents and abilities. There is no one like you. Matter of fact, Ephesians says it like this, that you're God's masterpiece. Although you may not view yourself that way, you may not see yourself that way, you are unique and specially made by God. And he created you brand new in Christ Jesus. Why? So that you could do all the good things that he planned for you to do. See, he has something for you to do because you're unique. There is nothing or no one like you. So I pulled another video clip because this is from the movie Narnia, The Chronicles of Narnia. And I started thinking about social media. I started thinking about young girls. I started thinking about the struggle that is going on in our culture. I started thinking about how we compare ourselves to other people. We look at other people and go, man, if I looked like them or if I had that. Well, this movie brings out a great little moment. This is a young girl who begins to walk down that journey, and there's a little spell that's going on because she's wishing and hoping that she can be like someone else. Watch what happens.
Transform my reflection, cast into perfection, lashes, lips, and complexion. Make me she, whom I degree, holds more beauty over me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Pevensey.
She's quite a look.
Edmund.
You're beautiful, sister.
As always.
Peter.
The
Excuse me, miss. Can I get a photo?
Oh, mother's going to love this. All her children in one picture.
Smile.
Hang on, where am I? I mean, where's Lucy?
Lucy? Who's Lucy? Susan, what's wrong?
Come on now, miss. Nice big smile.
Edmund, I'm not sure about all this. I think I want to go back.
Go back where?
To Narnia.
There's Narnia.
What's going on? Stop this!
Lucy.
Aslan?
What have you done, child?
I don't know. That was awful.
But you chose it, Lucy.
I didn't mean to choose all of that. I just wanted to be beautiful like Susan. That's all.
You wished yourself away, and with it much more. Your brothers and sister wouldn't know Narnia without you, Lucy. You discovered it first, remember?
I'm so sorry.
You doubt your value. Don't run from who you are.
It's a really, really cool movie, because if you don't know the context or the story that's being told, is the lion represents God. And in this story that they're on, they're in this journey, and here's this young girl wanting to be someone else. If I could just be them, I would be happy. If I just looked like her, I would be happy. Could be a sibling, as in the story, or could be a stranger. And God steps in and says, you're wishing yourself away. I've given you one silver coin. I've given you a blessing. But now you can't see it because all you do is compare yourself to someone else. Don't wish yourself away. It is easy for all of us to do, particularly with social media. When you begin to look and compare what someone else has versus what you have, and the envy begins to destroy us. So don't dare to compare. Number two, learn to enjoy the success of others. Now, let me just say this real slowly. Learn to enjoy the success of others. It's not easy when someone else is winning to celebrate their success. For example, let me put an image on the screen for you. There is no one, when you watch that, you don't go, man, listen, they've been in, you know, behind for a long time. They've really been the underdog. Ole Miss has been struggling for a long time. No, you're like, this is ridiculous. Fire everybody. And what do you begin to do? You look back. You begin to compare yourselves to the Alabamas, to the Knicks. Well, if we had Nick Saban, if we did this, I tell you what, it is all of us. Matthew 20. Continues. The workers who had been hired first thought they'd be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began complaining to the owner. And once again, another translation, why are you envious because I'm generous to someone else? Learn to celebrate the win that someone else gets. But here's what happens. Envy comes into our life, and it keeps you from entering into the joy of anyone else. So if someone else experiences joy because you're envious, you can't celebrate with them. You resent it. You resent anybody else winning. You resent any other company being successful. You're actually threatened by it. So then you get mad about it. You get angry about it. If someone is single and they finally get the date of their life, or they find Mr. Right or Miss Right, you're like, oh, of course they find them. Oh, of course. Good luck. Someone is successful in business and you're like, oh, they'll fail. I mean, I'm glad they got it now, but sooner or later, they don't understand. It's going to come and get them. You see another church get successful, more successful than you are. Oh, no, no, it won't last long. They'll fail. And they're not going to be good enough. Something will happen to them. And each and every one of us can relate to that. So then you go back to Scripture, and what is Jesus telling us? What is he giving us the story for? Is he's like, why can't you celebrate their win? Why can't you be excited about their success? Why can't you rejoice with them? Romans 12, 15, you ready? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Because you're going, no, this ain't fair. This is not fair. Ole Miss should not beat LSU. That company should not be making more than us. She should not have a boyfriend. Do you know her? Look at me. I look so much better. How can she go out with him? How can he go out there? It's the same thing. And envy begins to get you. So you can't go, man, I'm so thankful. Dude, that's awesome. I celebrate it. Man, I'm so thankful that, man, that church baptized 100 people. Dude, I am thankful. Dude, that is, I hear that church is growing. Thank God the kingdom's getting bigger. Let's celebrate that with them. No, instead, oh, I can't believe that. You believe it? And the enemy goes, I got you. So number three, here's the challenge. Be grateful for what you have. You ready? Image for you. Boom. Isn't it funny how quickly we forget? You want more, more, more. You're not grateful for what we've experienced or what we have, even as a church. No, you begin to look and compare yourself to someone else or something else, and you're never quite satisfied. You begin to look at another business. You begin to look at another couple, another family. Another team. So even as I told you, Dallas Cowboys, we got five, but I look at New England, they got six. Pittsburgh's got six. And envy begins to eat you up. And the whole point is Jesus is saying, no, be thankful for the silver coin in your hand, for the success, for whatever it is that I've blessed you with. Now, let's be honest, it doesn't come natural. It takes practice. That is why in 1 Corinthians it says this, isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? You already have all you need. Ecclesiastes 6:9, it's better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting something else. I went to a car show with my dad this past weekend. We were coming back. We went through Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, coming back, and he's got a 70 Chevelle convertible. My brother had it growing up, and he put it in the car show. And where I give my dad a lot of credit is there's all these tricked out cars and all this other stuff. And he was just like, man, I'm just thankful we got what we got. 80 years old, I'm like, Dad, you learned a good lesson. He wasn't going, man, what if we had that? Or, man, I wish I had that car. Man, he was just like, man, I'm glad that we got this. And, man, it's just good to be out and enjoy the day. And I thought, boy, as a young man, boy, I need to learn that. And as young couples, man, don't we need to learn to go, man, I'm not comparing my house or my cars or my kids' success or their college. Oh, they got in this college. I don't know why we couldn't get in that college. All that's going on, man, look at, they went on this and they got this trip and they did this and they won that. It's like, can you just go, no, let me just be thankful for what I have. Be grateful. Famous clip from the movie Family Man, a powerful movie to illustrate this point way clearer than I can by just talking about it. Watch.
This is going to be a better life for all of us. We could put Annie and Josh into private schools.
Annie goes to a great school, Jack.
I'm talking about the best schools in the country here, Kate.
Jack, what could you possibly be thinking about? What about my job?
Well, this is New York City. It's like the needy people capital of the world. Your Jersey clients aren't a tenth as pathetic as the ones you could find here.
I can't even believe you're talking about moving back into the city, Jack. I thought the reason that we left was because we didn't want to raise the kids here.
No. This is the center of the universe. If I were living in Roman times, I would live in Rome. Where else? And today, America is the Roman Empire. New York is Rome itself. John Lennon.
Jack.
Listen, okay, you know something? I'm detecting like a funky tension here, and this was supposed to be a happy day. So guess what? I don't need this. We don't have to live here. Forget it. I'll commute. I'll drive to work.
In traffic, Jack, it's over an hour each way. That's like 3 hours every day. When are you ever gonna see the kids?
Kate, you're not understanding me. I'm talking about a perfect life, a great life. Everything we pictured when we were young, the whole package. You said so yourself. Life has thrown us a few surprises, so we made sacrifices. Well, guess what? Now I can finally get us back on track. I can do that, Kate. I want to do that. I need to do that as a man for all of us. Please just think about this for 1 second. No more lousy restaurants. No more clipping coupons. No more shoveling snow.
Then get a snowblower, Jack. Don't go get a new career without even telling me about it. And don't take Annie out of a school that she loves, and don't move us out of a house we've become a family in.
Don't you see? I'm talking about us finally having a life that other people envy.
Oh, Jack. They already do envy us.
Some heavy stuff, man. Why I love movie clips is because it takes you into their life and you go, man, I can relate. I feel that pain and that tension. And in our culture, in our society, all young people, all people are more. I don't have enough. We haven't got to greed yet, but it's coming. So in that process of trying to get greed, we're envying everybody else and all of their stories, and now we're watching it on the Instagram, on Facebook. I can't believe it. We're comparing ourselves over and over again. And in the midst of it, we don't appreciate what we have. And it makes us angry. And the enemy goes, gotcha. So what's the fourth thing to do? If we're going to get out of this, trust God's plan. He has a plan for you. Don't get distracted by other people and other things that are going on. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. You have a particular race. Don't compare it to someone else. Don't look at someone else. Don't think about someone else. Just go, God, help me to be faithful in what it is you're calling me to and what you're asking me to do. As a pastor, I promise you, I have to remind myself just like you do in the real world, in the business world. Don't compare myself to Saddleback or North Point or any other church in our area. Run the race that is set before me. Let me do the best that I can. Regardless of whether you like it, talk bad about me, or you love me and go, man, this is awesome. Just, God, help me not to be full of pride. Help me, God, not to be envious. Help me, God, just to stay focused on what you're calling me to do. And the same for you. Trust God and be the best you that you can be. Now, I got one story for you because this is an example of that. It's a Steve Hartman story because I already had it planned before I knew he'd be here. And the reason I chose it is because many times we're envious of professional athletes and their success and their story. But what you'll see is in this humility of this particular athlete, and you see that in this journey that God does something in him. Because he realizes my journey is different from every other player. And I'm not going to get caught up on what anybody else says about me. I'm just going to do what I feel like I'm supposed to do. What God's calling me to do, what God's made me to do. And when you can get in that place, it may be different for everybody else, but it's a pretty cool, successful place to be. Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, your New England Patriots.
Generally speaking, Super Bowl pregame interviews aren't a great source of stimulating conversation. And yet every year, reporters gather 12 deep for this cliche fest.
Saying it's good when you come together as a team.
Fortunately, this year, there was a rookie from New England with something novel to talk about.
Good to see you again.
Novels like Gone Girl.
What about her false diary?
Yeah.
How does the author use that in the narrative?
Well, it's the diary is almost a different character in the book.
I first met this voracious reader wide receiver 3 years ago. Malcolm Mitchell was in college then, playing for Georgia, when one day he ran into a woman at Barnes & Noble.
I mean, a chance encounter in a bookstore, how wonderful is that?
Did you have any idea at all who he was?
None.
And you didn't tell her?
I didn't, but I knew they were going to find out.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to say it.
Fact is, Kathy may have been the only one in Athens who didn't know the name Malcolm Mitchell. Number 26 for the University of Georgia Bulldogs was one of the top recruits in the country a few years ago. He's Georgia royalty. And presumably, if Kathy had known that, she wouldn't have stood in that Barnes & Noble talking his ear off about the book club she'd just joined.
I mean, he like stepped back and he said, "You did?" And he said, "Can I join your book club?" And I said, I don't know if you want to join mine. We're all 40, 50, and 60-year-old women.
But Malcolm was undeterred. So now, one of the top wide receivers in the country meets monthly with his book club lady friends.
Oh, yeah. And then he went to the wedding?
I love that part.
He's the only man and the youngest by a generation. But Malcolm doesn't care. Nor does he care what anyone thinks.
Somebody called me a nerd. It's not a word that I'm used to hearing.
Is it okay, though? Are you okay with the label?
I was proud of it.
Right.
It's like a badge of honor to me, knowing where I came from.
Malcolm confessed to me that when he started college, he could only read at about a junior high level, and it bothered him. So he started putting as much effort into his reading game as his football game. Every free moment, he had a book in his hand. He's now reading things he never dreamed he could. And although some of the book club selections he would never pick himself, Malcolm seems to enjoy them all.
Yeah, the ending was great.
And that's why, no matter what he does on Sunday, Malcolm says football will never be his proudest accomplishment.
That came natural. That's a gift. I had to work to read.
Which brings us to the latest chapter in his life story.
I think it was after the interview we did and I saw the reaction. You know, it kind of took on a life of its own. Good morning.
Today, the reader is a writer too.
So I wrote the book that you have in your hands today, The Magician's Hat.
The Magician's Hat is a children's book about the magic of reading.
Follow your dreams.
He has also started a kids' literacy foundation, all of which leads me to the same conclusion I had after my first meeting with Malcolm.
If we could all just follow your example, our country would be in a perfectly good place.
You don't know how much that means to me, man.
Malcolm Mitchell.
Seriously.
Super Bowl winner.
Come on, y'all. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Pretty cool, right? So here, I got to hurry so we can wrap it up and give you one more. But what's God planned for you? My goal, the church's goal, is to help you figure that out, to discover that. And here is what we know based on that story in Matthew 20. You ready? Jesus concluded after all the comparison, everybody got angry, and he was saying, hey, I'm God, I can do what I want. I'm going to give one guy football talent, give somebody else whatever the talent may be that you have. And then he goes on, and so it is that many who are first now will be last, and those who are last now will be first then. If you want to be great, Jesus says, at the end of that story, where he talked about coins and everybody complaining and comparing themselves. No, he said, if you want to be great, become a servant to everyone. So then it hits me. This is kind of like my little thought as I'm writing my notes. Remember, I had to do two messages before I left, so this is a two-week-old message, and I kept thinking about this whole week. Because everybody's still trying to figure it out, and they're still trying to battle and try to work through. Here it is. When you're busy serving other people, you don't have time to envy them. I mean, if you can get this whole idea, why did Jesus say, hey, if you want to be first, you got to be last? It's because he's saying, man, if you start serving, you're not worried about comparing yourself to anybody else. Man, you're going to be so busy trying to solve a problem, trying to represent Christ, trying to be involved in something bigger than yourself that you won't be worried about what everybody else is doing. And you go, well, Justin, can you give me a little bit more clarity? Yeah, I can, because when Steve Hartman came to Shreveport, many of us watch and think of all the things wrong with Shreveport and all the bad stuff, but Steve always looks for the good. And what does he find? A bunch of dads, instead of complaining or getting prideful or getting envious that they wish their kids were at a different school, they went in and started serving. And guess what? Just like Jesus said, it began to change things in them and in their environment. Watch.
Not many good news stories begin in such a bad news way. It happened last month here at Southwood High School in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Plagued with violence.
Over the course of 3 days,
another fight.
23 students arrested for fighting.
Massive police response.
But strangely, there hasn't been another incident since.
perhaps in part because of this most unusual crisis intervention team.
Nobody here has a degree in school counseling.
No.
No majors in criminal justice.
No.
Your qualifications are?
Parent.
We're dads. We decided the best people who can take care of our kids are who? For us. What we
do. So Michael Lafitte started Dads on Duty.
We're out doing what we do for our babies.
A group of about 40 Southwood dads who now hang out at the school in shifts.
Let's go.
Today, any negative energy that enters the building has to run a gauntlet of good parenting.
What's going on, buddy?
You moving fast. I like that horse.
I immediately felt a form of safety.
We stopped fighting. People started going to class.
How could that be?
You ever heard of a look?
A look? Dads it's have just the power to do that?
Yes. Not many people know it, but yes.
Let's go, let's go.
But it's not just the firm stares and stern warnings.
Let's make it to class, my son.
It's also the dad jokes.
They just make funny jokes like, oh, hey, your suit is untied, but it's really not untied.
And they hate it. They're so embarrassed by it.
And it's that perfect mix of tough love and gentle ribbing that dads do so well that has helped transform this school.
The school has really just been like happy, and you can feel it.
Which is why the dads plan to keep coming to Southwood indefinitely.
Because not everybody has
the
father figure at home.
Or a male, period, in their life.
So just to be here makes a big difference.
Do you think you stumbled onto something here?
Absolutely.
They'd like to start chapters of Dads on Duty throughout Louisiana.
What's up, baby boy?
And hope to eventually take on the country.
All right.
Without a fight. Steve Hartman, on the road, in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Come on, we made it! How cool is that, man? How cool is that? Guys, not envious about another school or not envious that they don't have the parental involvement. They just went in there and served. And look at the difference it made. Not comparing themselves to anybody else, they just went and served. God, I pray. Man, God, Jesus, change us. Man, help us to be what you call us to be. Help us to not compare ourselves to anyone else, to know why we're on this planet, and to see the need and meet the need, to solve the problem, to not be searching social media or comparing ourselves to someone else and what they have or what we don't have, but to be thankful for what we've been given. And God, help us to know that that gift comes from you. Thank you for being the generous Father that you are. We love you, and anybody that doesn't know you, Jesus, I pray that they would see the real you, not religion, not church, but the gracious, loving, heavenly Father that you are, kind of like these guys right here, willing to come in and stand in the gap for others. That's what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for shedding your blood, for overcoming the grave to give us hope today that we can and we will be able to make a difference. We call on you. We ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Can't get an amen somewhere. Come on, Tom. Amen. Steve Hartman was here, y'all. He did a story on them Cowboys. Oh, Southwood. That's my alma mater. Brings a tear to my eye, dude. I'm so thankful. Listen, get out of here. Go have a great day. Trust God and be the very best that you can be today, knowing that he's got a plan for you. I love you. I can't wait to see you next week. Until then, peace. Thanks for coming.